in the streaming world of what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
My God, it's even got a view. What's the catch?
There's no catch.
Come on, there's gotta be.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror anthology television show created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about A New Lease on Life, directed by John Strysik and written by Adam and Harvey Jacobs and Michael McDowell, with an air date of January 26th, 1986.
So another episode with three writers.
Yeah,
but sometimes that works.
I think it works in this case.
It does.
Yeah.
The foot is on a different shoe, if you will, on this
the
one.
The shoe is on a different foot?
Yeah, there you go. So somebody would have gotten it right eventually.
The nail's on a different wall.
Yeah, effect, exactly. Effect and cause, yeah.
Nail's on
it. There it is. Yeah. Pack it up.
Yeah, there you go. The Costanza walk out now. Yep. Yeah. Go
That's
out
gotta
on top.
Hurt.
Yeah. This is a very interesting episode. Kind of starts you off, and it's another one. Like, I feel like Tales is generally pretty effective at this. Their openings, where you're just like, all right, it's a man in an apartment building. What the fuck is weird? When am I going to find out the weird thing?
Well, what's wrong with this place?
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird shit right off bat when we get into this. But before we do, can we get that Fangoria synopsis, please?
Yeah. So the official Fangoria Tales from the Dark Side guide says, slightly similar in premise to George Romero's unproduced feature Apartment Living. That's a deep cut there.
How about that?
Yeah. This installment centers on an apartment building with a life and appetite, in parentheses, of its own. It's like there's a big spoiler.
All right, you're giving away the goat there.
Thanks, Fangoria. Yeah.
The architectural entity feeds on...
sealed the deal.
Feeds on leftover food scraps, which its inhabitants dump into a huge disposal system under the orders of the landlady. A new tenant discovers the peculiar nature of this dwelling and attempts to kill the building by pouring a lethal compound into its system.
Well, we're done. We'll see you later.
There's the episode. Thanks for coming.
Sometimes Fangoria, they're just like, fuck it, just put it all on the page.
There is a better way to fucking write that synopsis.
Maybe, hold on. Let's, if you even want to have that, just if you want to go spoilers.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
The show is, we're talking about it, is what it is.
But.
It's just that didn't pull any punches. Yeah, that's the twist.
Yeah,
man.
We have fun going through the beats and discussing it. This is like he throws a broken plate and Drano into the garbage chute.
Turns out the building's alive and it's a monster.
Well, basically. It is alive and it is a monster, but it's a fun episode.
It is a fun
episode. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So John Strysik, the director of this episode, also did Anniversary Dinner.
Okay.
Which we liked.
Yeah.
Well enough. He also did The Last Car, which I'm very excited to get to. That's a great one.
He also did a short film of the music of Eric Zahn.
Yes.
I haven't seen, but it's like from 1980, I think it said.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Yeah. And the same actor who's the main actor in this is in it as Charles Dexter Ward.
That's neat.
Which is interesting.
Okay, now we gotta track this
down. I gotta see it, right? It's gotta be on YouTube. I'm sure it is.
Robert Rothman, by the way.
Yes, there you go. He also did I Can't Help Saying Goodbye, The Milkman Cometh.
Okay,
which is interesting.
That is a good one.
That lines up.
Yeah.
And Love Hungry.
Okay.
For Tales from the Dark Side episodes, which is a really good one, I think. I think that's one of the better episodes from season 4.
Okay.
And he also directed an episode of Monsters with the Matt LeBlanc and Will Wheaton episode, Shaving a Haircut, Two Bites.
The Big Monsters episode.
The Big Monsters episode.
Two bites! Is that what happens?
That's exactly what happens,
Like Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And Harvey Jacobs is back, of course, and we already covered his plethora of writing stylings from Tales from the Dark Side and Monsters as well.
And besides him, it's like there's not too much going on with the other writers.
No.
It's like they've worked on stuff, but nothing really that sticks out.
I guess the other guy's his brother, and Michael McDowell wrote a bunch of Tales from the Dark Side. I think he wrote the last episode we did.
The writer for Tales from the Dark Side.
Doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, pretty much.
His name pops up all the time.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Michael Kube McDowell, who was the other writer.
He was the other Michael McDowell.
Or the actor, obviously.
Yes, Kube.
Michael McDermott.
That's the one.
Malcolm McDermott.
Obviously.
Malcolm McDonald.
Anyway. Michael McDonald.
Anyway, so we start off with
with Archie, who's a guy looking for a new apartment, and he can't pass this deal up, guys. $200 a month, by the way, for like a very scenic apartment. There's running water. There's a ceiling fan. There's AC.
It's not bad. It's a nice little. It's some good digs.
Let me give you a little advice. If it sounds too fucking good to be true, it probably is, because there's no effing way you're getting an apartment for $200.
Think
even
about
in 1986.
Think about how many episodes that could be applied to.
Seriously, though,
it's like, is a deal too good to be true? It probably is. It's
right.
There's a couple of those.
The thing with this episode is, I could probably deal with what's going on building for $200.
Yeah. I'll throw some chicken.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sure. I guess, yeah, when you start to think about the value proposition, you're right.
Because he says something like, I can't even get a parking spot for $1,000.
Right.
Or some shit
for
like
$200,
that.
Yeah.
He signed on for, what is it, 2 years? And he could renegotiate at the end?
Two years, you got a
good deal.
Oh, yeah, big
time.
Now,
imagine, like, anybody watching this, imagine living someplace for $200 a month.
No.
Can you imagine all the shit you'd be able to do?
I'd have a lot more money.
I mean, based on his furnishing, sure.
Yeah.
But it's not a total fucking shithole like the super or something.
Right? Well, yeah, one plus is there's no drywall holes or anything. Because, so like one of the stipulations to the lease and paying, $200 a month is you can't hang anything on the walls.
No.
And you have to take the trash out every day.
You have to dispose of organic garbage.
Right.
In a very special, dedicated.
Very specific.
It's very specific shoot with a fucking gong and a beaded curtain and everything. But like a ritualistic way of disposing of it.
Yeah, but like the way this is conveyed is like he's moving in, he's got like the two workers there, like the maintenance people, whatever the fuck they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Al and something else.
Yeah.
The one guy is Ben Frank from Death Wish 2, he plays the detective. I thought that was funny.
But he's talking to them, and this is where he's kind of getting that information, and he's like, what do I really need to know? And they're like, well, did you sign the lease? He's like, yeah. And it's like, well, okay, here's all the rules you should have asked before you signed an asshole. And then he's like, oh, man, there's a lot of rules I got to worry about.
Not even. Like, they're just like, whoa, did you sign the lease? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay. And then he drops his fucking microwave.
Just out of the blue. Yeah, these guys are like, just, you can tell something's off about him.
That part is so fucking funny, because he's like, oh, yeah, just drop it there. And the guy literally drops it. He goes, that's my mother's microwave. She gave that to me. And he's like flipping out about it.
My mother left me that in her will, he says, or some shit.
Mother's last dying wish is for me to have this microwave.
Microwave.
He's wigging out about this, and this landlady comes in and he goes, I think you should pay for that. And she goes, well, you're paying $200 a month, so I don't think so. And he's like,
Can't use that microwave. The radiation gets into the walls and doesn't come out.
They keep saying that.
You get cataracts. Turns itself on at
bad
night.
Bad for the environment.
Styrofoam cup.
But we get this Madame Angler, played by Marie Windsor.
Who was a huge actress.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was weird because like she's almost like in these 50s exploitation movies, which I don't think were super common at the time. I think she's in something called like Women Outlaws or something like that, which is like, it's like this town of women who are all like fucking badasses and she happens to be one of them. She's in a bunch of shit.
That sounds like most of those movies back then.
Yeah. But like, it's not like a macho, there's a lot of estrogen, which I thought was interesting for that time period. It's not a macho Western.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's woman forward. She's also in The Killing too. She's been in a ton of shit. I mean, she was acting from like the fucking 40s to the 2000s. Wow. I think she died in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she ends up here in this episode.
She's great in this.
Yeah, she is.
I really like her as Madam Angler.
Is that it?
Yeah. Another like thing that's like kind of key to notice also in this scene is that, like, the uniforms these guys have on. There's like this massive dragon emblem on the back.
That's the thing that comes up like through the episode when we don't ever really figure out why.
It's on the doors of everyone's apartment.
There's a dragon motif on the door.
There's a little sticker next to the like the intercom in the apartment.
Yeah.
Intercom.
I didn't catch that till like halfway through the episode.
Madam has a dragon tattoo like on her arm.
And speaking of that intercom, it's a very weird intercom because there's a massive thing on the wall that lights up. And even like the guy's like, how do you turn the lights on in here? And she's like, oh, just like wave on this speaker.
She's like, rub this pad real nice. And there you go. So
just
it's like
rub on it real slow.
It's like Horace X, right?
Yeah.
Put your hands on it.
Then, then the pipes start groaning. The house is like,
this thing is coming.
Yeah. I know, that's what it feels like.
And then the lights come on and she's like, yeah.
Touch me more, madam.
Yeah. She's like, oh, those pipes, they just roar or whatever the fuck she says.
And he's like, oh, okay, $200. All right, yeah, sure.
The pipes sometimes sing, especially when you're fucking rubbing the clitoris of this monster.
I love
to turn your lights on.
Well, he even says to himself after he starts to get a little settled, he's like, yeah, you know, I could do with like an invasive landlady and some guy with bad wrists. Yeah, I could deal with that. Starts unpacking everything. Well, it won't hurt him what they don't know as he's getting this picture out.
She gives him tape. She like pulls it out of a garter belt or some shit.
And like, they're very, like her and the, you know, repair guys are very clear. It's like, don't hang anything up. You don't ever.
If you're insistent on putting pictures up, use the tape.
Yeah.
Everybody else has their pictures up by tape. Why do you need to hang it up with a nail?
And he's like, oh, I'm just, what they don't know won't hurt him.
Yeah, fuck him.
What's he going to do? Caulk it on his way out? Like, what was his plan there? But he starts nailing it in and this thing starts literally growling. It's like, but it keeps knocking it in. I'm like, you're not a little concerned about that.
And by this point, you already know what's going on.
It's no punches are pulled. No. Okay, the monster is like
in major pain.
That hurts.
Not only that, he watches this nail get pushed out of the wall and it starts to fucking bleed.
Yeah, and it's pretty. It's gross.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
and his only complaint is, "Hey, my mom's picture fell off the wall."
Yeah, fuck your mom.
So then, like, we get a cut, and this guy's like, yeah, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, something came out of the wall, like rust or something. And they're, like, looking at him like, what are you using, by the way? Peroxide.
What's that smell?
Hydrogen peroxide and a little Q-tip. And this thing looks gross. It's like, purple.
Yeah.
It's all infected looking. It's, like, got, like, a drip going down the wall.
He's like, what the fuck are you using peroxide on a wall for? And he's like, it's a wound.
Yeah, they're, like, you know, glaring at this guy. He's like, well, it's my first day at work. He keeps saying that. It's my first day at work. I can't be late.
He's got to go, and these assholes are fucking around with a Q-tip and peroxide on his wall.
Fingering his wall.
Yeah. They're looking for that guy from the fucking Bigelow's Last Smoke that was hiding in there.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, and he's like, oh, you know, you really should have this checked out. Call a plumber because there's obviously a pipe burst behind this wall.
Right, that's what he thinks.
I hammered a nail into it. Oh, and he's like, goes to give him a tip. He's like, you can't buy forgiveness.
It's like $2.
I know, it's two singles. Yeah,
but he's like, you can't buy forgiveness. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, I just wanted to tip you guys for coming up here.
I'm not the one you have to apologize to.
Yeah.
Might as well just like rub the wall.
I mean, sure they do. So this woman comes over, Helen from next door, and she's like this ambiguous, weird character who's like, oh, they shut my water off. Get out of this apartment. You don't want to be here.
When she walks in, she's like, wow, you tried to hang up a photo?
That's ballsy.
She's like, that was so brave. He's like, no, it was a box of nails and a hammer. It's like, okay, buddy. But you're right. She's just kind of like very meek, kind of like, yeah, you need to get the hell out of here. You really don't know what's going on. They don't tell you everything in the paperwork. And he's like, that's $200. I don't really care.
Something's like off with her too. You see in her eyes. It's like,
She becomes like gaunt later. It's like a whole thing. And you're like, wait, what is exactly happening?
I thought her soul or something was getting sucked out.
So it's insinuated that they control the water to each of these apartments. She's like, yeah, they don't let me have any water. Can I have a cup of water? And he gives her a cup of water and this thing gets pissed off.
Yes.
And like, again, the whole building shakes and you hear a
gets
roar.
Angry.
And he's like, yeah, they didn't tell me the goddamn subway was underneath the building.
Well, it gets mad because she's kind of starting to give the goat away and the building doesn't, well, as we find out, doesn't like that.
Yeah, they didn't tell you about the other thing. And he's like, what?
So then like, I forget if it's this scene or it might be when she comes to bring the cup back a little later. The landlady's there.
Well, yeah. So like he goes to leave and like the pad like shocks him when he goes to turn the light off.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back from his job. And she comes out, Helen comes out of her apartment, and this is where she's all like fucking, she's like
raccoon eyes. Yeah.
Like she hasn't slept in like 12 days.
And she brings the mug back, and like there's this like weird interaction with everybody when the landlady's like, your name's Helen, don't try to like fool me. Cause she's like, I'm just bringing the mug back. And she's like, and then the guy's like, no, my mom was named Helen. Like, now
and
it's my
mug. It was his mug with her name on it.
Yeah, she gets really weird about the mug, which is like, it's like, what's
the
big
deal? Why are you out of your apartment?
Give this poor woman some water.
Get back in the apartment with your cup.
Because then when she walks away, the landlady's like, yeah, she's not going to have her lease renewed. And, you know, she only eats yogurt and rice. We don't really need her. It's like, what?
She's like, her lease isn't going to be renewed.
She doesn't produce enough organic material.
Garbage. She also just kind of puts that first seed into, like, for this new guy, like, Yeah, by the way, also, what's going on with your food? He's like, I just eat a lot of takeout. I don't know what the big deal is.
Well, she has a big plate of food. And he's like, what are you doing with that? He's like, what are you going to throw that out? And he's like, yeah, well, we all got to have organic garbage or whatever. I cook too much because my husband's dead and I make too much. So she dumps it down.
But I'm used to it, yeah.
And they always say, like, she always says dispose.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going to throw that out? I'm going to dispose of
the organic garbage.
Yeah. Down like, the chute.
Right. And like this thing is like a hallway with
gaping maw.
Exactly. With like these like the bead, I don't know what they call it, like the bead.
Beaded curtain.
Yeah, beaded curtain, and has like this big sign above it. Disposal unit.
Yeah. There's a fucking gong that you have to hit for the door to open.
Might as well just say
it.
Like house, like apartment mouth or something. Whatever.
Food hole. Yeah.
So in like the middle of the night, Archie just like overhears all this fucking yelling next door.
They like kick down Helen's door and like drag her out.
And then, you know, of course, then he's like really concerned about this. Like, well, that was weird. And like I think he even steps outside and like there's no one out there. Like everyone's left at that point.
No,
this part's creepy.
He catches a glimpse of one of the dudes like pulling the body through the beaded curtain. And the other guy steps in, he's like, it's late. You should go to bed. This is a dream. Good night.
Right, yeah. Tries to gaslight him. Yeah.
And how about the hand? Like coming through the wall?
Oh, yeah. No,
he's like that whole effect.
He goes to listen and he puts his hand on the wall, and when he takes it away, there's depression. And it's like if you like grabbed your skin. And like let go, and you can still see the finger marks. It's really cool.
Through the wall, it's weird.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Very, it made me think of like, of course, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, a little bit of Frighteners for this quick second.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that effect. And you hear screaming in the same time. Yeah. Like, oh, this is weird.
Madam Angler is like, you don't dispose of enough garbage. I tell you what, come over to my house tonight and I'll make you dinner. What do you say? And he's like, okay. And we cut to this woman's apartment. Now, there's already been some type of Asian motif going on.
Yeah.
She shows up in a kimono. There's dragon insignia all over the place. But this place is like decked out in what
I guess this must be Chinese, but she does get sake out.
Yeah, we couldn't parse if it was Japanese or Chinese or both.
Yeah,
because
I think it's like a mix of all sorts of different cultures all together.
It could be.
Asian dragons.
Asian monsters.
We're saying when she gets like the liquor out, but really she just like turns her fucking faucet on.
Not even. That's the whole thing. She walks over to the sink and she puts the glass underneath and it pours itself.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because even he has, like, the match for the candles and they light themselves when he puts it next to it.
So is there, like, a monster teat, like, hooked up to the fucking plumbing that's, like, spitting out sake?
Well, we know where it's, like, you know, genitalia is. Archie's apartment.
I think this is kind of like a brain damage, like, Elmer kind of situation, but, like... It's actually like a copacetic relationship. It's not like, hey, feed him the cat food and hope for the best, or the cat brain or whatever the fuck it was. It's like, all right, this woman's fucking giving me all the good shit, steaks, meatloaf, prime rib. All right, she gets vodka in her fucking glass. Her lights turn off with no problem. But if you're not feeding me like Helen, well, the water's getting shut off. You're getting your soul drained.
You gotta respect the building.
Literally, though, you know? I think that's what it is.
And what does she say? It's like, oh, you take care of the St. George.
And the St. George will take care of you. That's literally what it's called, by the way, the St. George. Why it's called the St. George.
It's like, is that its like actual name?
It's a fucking eldritch horror,
man. St. George? Yeah.
This is it right here on my shirt on this Lethian shirt.
There you go.
Clearly the monster.
Yeah.
But then she invites him over for dinner, like you're saying. And then he's like, wow, this is so much food, even just for me and you. And she's like, don't worry about it. Eat as much as you can. Don't be like Helen.
It's like a Japanese Thanksgiving, dude. There's a fucking turkey. She's like, here's your mashed potatoes and your sweet potatoes.
Little
and
breadsticks.
And you want a
breadstick?
There's
like 30 breadsticks.
This is
just
like
for the two of them.
An asparagus casserole.
Yeah. This is like what your grandma broke out with, like the whole family, not just a casual Tuesday.
And that's when he said, what are you cooking for the Chinese army? And it's like, okay, well, is it Chinese or Japanese? I guess it's Japanese because they're having sake. I don't know.
Either way, Asian is the point.
So she gives him the turkey and she's like, here you go. Make sure you dispose of this in the disposable organic garbage. So he takes it and he's like, this is so much food. I'm not going to waste this shit.
So he brings it to his apartment.
He's like, fuck
and
it. And he just
guys are watching him, of course.
Like, that's leftovers for a week.
Dude, that's leftovers for like 2 weeks for one dude, a whole turkey?
The sandwiches, yeah.
No turkey hash, turkey soup, all gone. So he puts it on the counter. He's like, well, she's out of her fucking mind. He like rips a wing off and goes to bite it. And the fucking Billy goes, no.
The whole screen's shaking. Yeah.
They kick his door down. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? We told you to throw that down the disposal. And he's like, I'm not, it's a bunch of food. And he's like, you gotta do your part,
you haven't been providing.
Which is kind of hilarious when you think about it. Like, Helen, they were complaining about her yogurt and rice. And, you know, it obviously didn't end out well for her. But it was like, she just got kind of taken out quietly in the scheme of things. Yeah. He's like, first week there just fucking everything up to the point where they're like, all right, we got to cut the fucking line on this one.
You know what I just thought of? Like, she was only eating yogurt and rice and stuff, and they're like almost starving her in her own apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think it's a little bit.
Like she's not giving
right
the building enough food. So she's not going to get
it. It's like reflective of that. Yeah. And that's what's happening.
I didn't catch that either. I didn't think of that. I just, she was like,
just right
came
now.
Off as just like the weird woman next door.
Yeah. There's definitely a little bit more to that kind of B story that, like, if you start thinking about it, it's like, whoa, that was a fucked up situation.
So he dumps the turkey down and he goes, organic garbage, huh? He fucking pulls out a plastic bag and he starts throwing in all his plates and he's smashing plates and he's like, how about this, motherfucker? And he's like dumping in like Ajax and like all kinds of like Drano and shit into it.
Well, because he even says to like the maintenance guys, like, you threw Helen in there, right? You fed her to it. And they're like, ah, we don't know anything about that. She left.
She went with a
boyfriend. Her husband came
back. She went home with a boyfriend or something.
So yeah, that's what really sets him off. And then he's got like, again, like all this poison and shit in there.
There's Drano, there's bleach, there's chloride.
He comes in and he jacks off in the bag even for good measure.
Sure, he puts his gesso in it. So he opens the beaded curtain and he fucking hits the gong with his hand and it opens and it's a mouth. It's an honest to goodness like monster throat.
Yeah, Sarlacc pit.
Oh yeah.
Boba Fett's hanging out there.
Yeah. And he sees this, and he doesn't even fucking bat an eye, and just shoves the whole garbage back into its throat.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit, which, motherfucker.
You hear, like, you know, all the plates and stuff, like, all the noises making, it's like, oh, this thing's gonna...
The building's shaking, and they're like, what did you do? And he's like, I gave it my... I was just doing my part.
I was expecting the building to collapse, even though... We've talked about it before, maybe not the biggest budgets on this show. They could have made it work.
Dude, that bag hit that thing's belly, and it just... like peters out, and one guy's like dead, and he's like,
yeah, two repair guys. This is a weird thing because it's just them in the hallway looking at each other, dead.
Well, they're also saying that, making you think they're talking about the building when they're actually talking about Archie, because then the landlady's like, well, you fucked up. You did the worst thing you could have possibly thought of.
He's like, you could have had a rent, you could have been you could have stayed here forever for $200 a month.
Just to give a little extra leftovers.
And he's like,
which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah, and she's like, look at this. And he now has like a dragon tattoo that is just manifested on his arm.
Well, it's almost like the building chose him. Because she's like, well, he's like, well, what happened to Helen? She's like, well, the building didn't choose her. She wasn't right for here, but you were, and you fucking blew it, buddy.
Yeah, like he's a disciple of the dragon now.
Yeah, it's like, what are these random tattoos? It's like, why even bother... putting that little thread.
It's kind of interesting though, because it's like, oh well, you could have been fine. Like you were meant to be here. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck? And he's looking at his arm.
Oh, I got this sick dragon tattoo with tribal around it.
Dude with the dragon tattoo.
Exactly. So then as they're giving him this basic like final last rites kind of thing, this fucking tongue shoots out behind him. Talking about a Sarlacc pit.
I love the reverse photography here of the tongue wrapping him and he's like, you know, he's going nuts and he gets pulled into the fucking mouth. And R.I.P. Archie.
And that's it. Yeah. See you later.
We get this final line, though.
It's like the guy's like, oh, you know, I couldn't stomach that guy anymore. And then like, oh, that's hilarious because he got eaten.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, yeah.
They're all laughing. And the funniest part is the last shot is the fucking mouth going.
also laughing.
Yeah, the mouth. Everything laughs.
It's great. It's like Evil Dead 2 or something, and it's weird.
Or Little Shop of Horrors, even.
It could be, yeah. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me, Archie.
So, just no glass or plates or anything like that. Please.
So what do we think of this episode?
I think this is a great little episode.
You know what's funny? We were watching it before, and you were like, I don't remember this.
And I didn't.
And which is crazy to me, because I'm almost positive like this was one of the episodes that we used to watch like when we first met, and I was like, this was like one that we really liked.
Yeah, and going through it, like watching again for this episode, it's like, it's either been so long or it's like, I didn't remember it as well as I thought I did.
Gotcha.
But sitting down again, I'm like, this still feels like fresh.
It's great.
And it was like, I'm so glad that it did because like, this is a fun one to revisit.
100%.
But yeah, I think this is a fun little episode. It's like, you understand what's happening and that's fine. It's like, these episodes they're not known for their twists. It's like they're not trying to hide anything. It's not Tales from the Crypt.
No.
Where it's like you're waiting till the end to get like the comeuppance or like see how it's all like the twist in the episode.
Yeah.
This is just like just fun little episodes. And that's what we got here. It's like, cool. We got an apartment that's a, this weird giant creature. And I think it's great. It's like, this is a fun little episode. And I wish there were more like this.
Sure. Mm. Yeah. Well, we're going to get to the, because they're more plentiful when we hit, when we actually hit the monsters series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think this is definitely one of the best ones of this season so far. I don't know if I go so far to say it's one of the best episodes of the series so far, but I like this one a lot. I kind of always like ghost shit, and this is like kind of in that territory. I mean, it's more of a monster house straight up than a ghost, but it's got those little kind of ghosty vibes to it.
It's
also
like a cryptid.
I guess that's a better way to put it. Yeah, yeah. It just kind of has a good through line, and I kind of like the dark comedy elements of it also, and just this whole idea of like, yeah, you're making so much food because this thing's fucking hungry, but you're getting $200 a month fucking rent, so you just suck it up and throw some big backs down the chute. I don't know. This is one that I think is going to stick with me for a while. I mean, the time will tell, but it feels like it might be one of those.
I love this one. It's so interesting to me that, like, you have this giant building that's also alive, but, all of the rooms are alive, but then there's, like, a core thing, I guess, like, in the basement or whatever. Mm. Like, we never actually see what this thing looks like.
We just hear about it.
We just hear about it, and, like, but, like, when he touches the wall, it's so cool because it's, like, skin, or, like, you know, it controls the water and what comes out of it, and not necessarily if it can change if it's like water or sake or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And it also changes like by a room.
Yeah.
By tenant. Like,
yeah.
Each like Helen's room, like the next door neighbor. It's like she like didn't give enough, so she in return didn't get enough for her. And it's like you have a lot of weird little things going on here.
Well, it's almost like she gave him, the landlady gave Archie the fucking... the turkey one to be like, hey, you're just going to take out and shit this thing doesn't eat. So here's a little like kick in the right direction, you know.
I think, and she also knew that like he was going to be somebody that could stay there,
right?
Because after that nail incident, he should have went to the fucking grinder.
Oh, yeah. Right down the chute.
Right down the fucking old hole there. This episode's a lot of fun. I love the idea of like, again, like nailing it with the wound in the wall, and the idea of like this ancient creature that just happened to somehow end up in New York City and be a skyscraper. Like, was it always there?
Like something out of like a Lovecraft novel or something.
Yeah. Or did it like, did they build the building and then it come up from the bottom and then kind of assimilate the building? Like,
right.
How
like
did this all happen?
Yeah, it's like your mind can just go wild and it's like go anywhere you want to.
And then
has there been, I don't mean to cut you off, I just, now that concept, I feel like there's got to be movies like this.
Well, there's like Monster House or something like that, but it's not the same thing.
Sure.
That's like a ghost in there.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is like a very unique premise.
This isn't when we're a living thing, you know?
Like, and a mimic almost on some level.
And it's like
house
I guess kind of, yeah.
Granted, there's no giant face with eyes, but yeah.
And the way that they correlate it to like a dragon and like tie it to like Asian culture mythology is kind of weird and like uneven and doesn't really make any sense because they don't really explain it, which is fine. But it's like, what was your basis there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what were you basing it on?
Yeah. It's like, there's some very like peculiar, you know, like choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like someone was like, oh, let's just put a dragon motif everywhere.
And I got to tell you something, man. For $200 a month with a good view, and I just got to throw some, like Sean said, throw some fucking bag of McDonald's down there when I come home every night for like $3. Because you're saving all that extra money, and your fucking sink spits out sake instead of water.
Right.
Fucking sign me up. I'll rub that pad. I don't give a shit.
You'd be saving money. You probably end up like, what was that other episode where the woman's food was disappearing? This thing would probably start making food appear in your fridge, you know?
Imagine,
Just for giving it that extra food. Yeah, give me half that steak. I'll do you good.
Yeah, what happens if you give it like a ribeye or something?
Yeah, like twice a day.
Throw a tomahawk
down
there.
It's like, think of the money you're saving on rent. It's like, yeah, I'll buy a Costco rotisserie chicken.
Fuck it.
Throw it down. It's all shoot.
You don't even have to have a whole one. You could eat most of it.
Yeah.
And then throw that the rest
happy,
down. Yeah.
Just don't throw the, you know, glass and the, you know, the styrofoam it comes with in there. Then it's going to be pissed.
Well, they're very good about the recycling. You can't throw plastic down there.
Wow. Archie missed that lesson.
So, yeah, Chris, you got some Midnight Madness shows coming up. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So I got more Midnight Madness screenings up ahead. And every couple of weeks I'm doing screenings in Red Bank, New Jersey at the Basie Center Cinemas. So playing the weirdest and wildest movies you'll ever see. So check out what I got going on my Instagram, tape_hell. We have a little flashing text here. So go over, see what I got going on, and come see it in person.
Yeah, man. And you got a great show coming up on Saturday, March 2nd at 10 p.m. An absolute killer mix and match anime double feature. You got Perfect Blue, Wicked City, Akira, and Belladonna of Sadness. Maybe you do a little Perfect Blue and Akira. Maybe you do a little Wicked City and Akira. Maybe Perfect Blue and Belladonna of Sadness. It's up to you. You pick. Get your tickets now at tape_hell, or you can go pick up your tickets at the box office at Basie Center Cinemas at 36 White Street, Red Bank, New Jersey. We'll see you there. So that's it. That's a new lease on life. Let us know what you thought about this episode in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor, like the video and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review if you're digging the show. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.